If you'd want to turn to Luke 1, we'll go to 76. We'll read a few verses there. What this is here in Luke, let me give a little bit of a setting for this. Here we are. Luke is talking about and getting us the setting of Jesus Christ is going to be born. He's coming. And it had been prophesied there would be one that would go before him and prepare the ways of the Lord coming, which we know is to be John the Baptist. And as you remember, the angel came to Mary and talked to her, but also came to Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. And you remember that Zacharias kind of questioned that was going to happen because him and his wife were of old age. She had been barren, and he couldn't quite believe what was going to happen. And as a result, you remember that the angel of God struck Zacharias that he was couldn't speak, shall we say. And so he went those, I would assume, 9 months or close thereunto without being able to speak. And when it got to the birth of his son, and he had been told that the name of the son would be, call him John, as we know, become John the Baptist. So here the folks are, the baby's born in the home. Elizabeth has given birth to this young little boy. And the folks said, surely you're going to name him after his father, Zachariah. And she goes, no, we're going to name him John. And they're like, well, no, there's no John in your family. What are y'all doing? And so Zachariah asked for a pen and a pad and wrote, his name is John. Remember that? And at that moment, he was able to speak again. And he prophesied, which is here in this verse. And if we look up in verse 60 there, it said, and his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John, etc. And verse 64, his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and the fear came upon all that dwelt round about them, and those things that were noised about throughout all the hill of Judea, and all that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with them, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying. And so now let's go down to in this that he's prophesying, and he's talking about John the Baptist, but it changes somewhat in here. And verse 76, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So really what my text will be is 78 is what I would like, 77 and 78. 77 is kind of a transition from Zechariah talking about his son John into Jesus Christ. And he said that Zacharias would give knowledge of salvation unto his people. And then I think the word by the remission of sins is changing over talking about Jesus Christ, who he was going to prophesy about. And so John the Baptist is going to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. That's what he's going to talk about. And the remission of sins, who did that come by? Jesus Christ. And in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide, in verse 78, that he would give the remission of sins, verse 77, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. The tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring on high hath visited us. The tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. It's John the Baptist, and this is what he's going to be telling us about of Jesus Christ, of His tender mercy. It's interesting to me, Brother Lloyd got up in the Bible reading we have from time to time, and he used over there in Colossians about the bowels of mercies. This part here that's the tender mercy of our God is changing the bowels of mercy from my reading this week, and I wasn't going to talk about it until Brother Lloyd got up and did what he did. And the quote that he had, the bowels of mercies is an idiom to the Jews, talking about, in the English, it would be tender mercy. It's the tender care. We don't use the idea of bowels of mercies. That's not, I mean, yes, those of us that are Christians, but out in the regular world, you don't hear people talk like that. But they do can say something is a tender. That was a tender moment to me when you saw something maybe between two people. We don't say it was a bowels of mercy moment between two people. You see what I'm saying? So in Colossians, they didn't change it. They left the idiom there. Here in this verse, they changed it into more of an English idea of tender mercies. But these tender mercies come from deep within as bowels of mercies. Then Brother David got up and talked about the mercies and God's merciful kindness to us. God is a God of mercy. And here we have talking of Jesus Christ through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. You know, I used to do some deer hunting years ago, and I learned in what I did, I liked deer hunting in the morning way more than at night. And so I would get up, you know, have my deer stand set up, and I'd flag back into the woods from wherever I'd parked my car, and I'd be getting out there hours before the sun come up. And I'd have my little flashlight looking for my little orange flags because it's dark and I couldn't find my way in the woods that good to get to my deer stand, crawl up in the deer stand, and there I sit waiting for daylight to come. And one of two things typically was going on while I sit there in that deer stand. And I was either swatting mosquitoes or freezing to death. Either way, it was not enjoyable to me. And those are the two reasons, two of the three reasons I quit deer hunting. What is the purpose of this? Me sitting here, you know, like I say, and you don't put your off spray on if you're in the deer stand because you don't want that scent to go out and drive the deer away. Or if you're sitting there, you can't really do a lot of movement to get warm again. And I would just wait for the day spring, the first light of day. I know morning, I know it's there. Oh yeah, I could look at my watch and see that, you know, there's an hour till, you know, or an hour and a half till sunrise or whatever. But when I saw that pink, you know, in that western, eastern sky, you know, it's just like, whew, I know it's almost here. I'm just so happy that time, that darkness, and either the mosquitoes was about to pass or mostly to me was the cold. I like hunting when it's cold better than when it was warm like that. South Georgia, you don't get a chance sometimes. It's just warm. But anyway, so you see the point, the day spring. That's what it's talking about, is that first light, the day spring. It's the springing of the first light coming to us. Jesus Christ, one of his names, and as you know in the series I've been doing, is talking about the names of Jesus Christ. And we've talked about him being wonderful and counselor and Prince of Peace. And here he's the day spring. The day spring from on high. So he's talking here, John the Baptist is going to be talking about him and saying through the tender mercy of our God, tender mercy, not just mercy. You know, I heard it this week as I was reading and looking at these verses, and somebody said in some of the, I was reading, another minister said, explaining tender mercy, and I liked it, so I'm going to steal it from him. And he said, you can be speeding down the interstate and get pulled over by a patrolman. And he'll come up to the window and be very gruff to you. And, you know, do you not know what you're doing? Do you realize how you've put other people's lives in danger and, you know, gruffness to you? And you just know you're going to get this big ticketed, fine. And he goes back to his car. You know how they take their time back? Seems like it takes forever when they're back there. I think they're particularly trying to make you sweat. I don't know. But anyway, and the guy comes back up to your window and gives you a warning ticket. Still very gruff. Well, he's just extended mercy to you, has he not? You were speeding. But was it tender mercy? What about God? He has a lot of reason to be gruff with us, probably, and who we are and what we are, but he's always tender. Bowels of mercy, Brother Lloyd read. Kindness, merciful kindness, as Brother David read. And here it's tender mercy. God is not grumpy toward us. God, down deep inside of himself, has mercy toward us. Isn't it beautiful, brethren? And tenderness. You know, as Sister Ruth handles Sister Jane over there, tenderly, mercy, tenderly. Well, the word that really, you know, I want to see the day spring. That's kind of what got me to this verse. The first light, the first coming up of the sun. As we know, Jesus in many places in the scripture is talked about as the Son of Righteousness. It uses him as the light of the world. These metaphors of who Jesus Christ is. And here it is, the day spring. Just the light coming up. And it's by his tender mercy that it comes up. And it's that he visits us. He visits us. So I thought, well, how is this visiting done? And my first thought was going back to before the foundation of the world. You know, I realize when we think of visiting, you may not think that there was a visit toward us of God, but there was the everlasting covenant. It's all about us. It was the choosing before the foundation of the world, as we know in Ephesians 1 and 4, the choosing of his people and the covenant that was made there. And through the tender mercy, Jesus said that he would go and dwell as a man on earth to save us from our sins. That was all taking place. There was a visit toward us back then. But we knew nothing about it. So now time has started. We get to the creation. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. Boom. I don't think this was any small affair, do you? I don't think it was a candle in the corner of the universe and there was light. I think the universe was just, dramatically filled with light. The universe is huge. We haven't found the edge of it yet. Some people say it goes on infinitely. I don't think so. I think time and space has a limit. Man just hasn't found it yet, all right? You know, that's just my thoughts. You can do with that whatever you want. But here we are, and full of light. Then remember, God divided the light from the darkness, and he created the sun and the moon and the stars, and the darkness he called night, and the light he called day. And there's a division. It helps us through this, and God can use this metaphor to explaining light and darkness. And of course, right off, we understand our sin nature is darkness, and the light is Jesus Christ. But how did we learn all of this? Well, there we were in the beginning. God created that. Then the first man comes along. God gave the man a law to keep, and he didn't keep it, did he? Adam messed it up. He messed it all up, even to the point that God says later that the stars are not even pure in his sight anymore. You know, over there in Genesis, when he made them at the end of that day, when he made the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he said barely it was very good. But after the fall, and God cursed not only the man, but the earth and the universe. And he said, now not even the stars are beautiful in his sight anymore. It's sad what Adam did. And yet, remember the text now, through the tender mercy, the day spring hath visited us. What happened there in the garden? It's a little tiny ray of light that the day spring is giving us, a little bit of light out of his tender mercy. And Adam and Eve knew they were naked now, then, since they had eaten the fruit, and they were trying to cover their nakedness. Nakedness is a picture of sin. You realize every morning when you put your clothes on and cover yourself, do you realize there's a picture involved in that, that you're covering your sin? And where, after all, does the clothes come from? It's all a blessing of God that we have it. And every day, if you think about it, you're covering, there's the picture of your sin being covered. But here's the first time. Here's the first one. And an innocent animal, or maybe animals, were slain and covered these people. Do you see the little ray, first light ever given to man, that there's a Savior coming? The tender mercy of God. God didn't walk into that garden and just lamb blast him, did he? It was by tender mercy that he did it. The tender mercy and the day spring, a little peak of light of what's going to happen. And it was from this day spring from on high, which was God, and it is a visitation. I think in the scriptures, you know, we read over there that it said God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening with Adam, and God came to the garden and said, Adam, where are you? And there's some controversy maybe, but there's the camp that I'm in. I think when there's an actual visual seeing or sighting of God in the Old Testament, I believe it's Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. As you remember when the three Hebrew children were in the furnace and Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, well, I see four, and the fourth one is likened to the Son of God. That one's pretty clear. I don't think there's any question about who that is because it spells it out. But I even believe over here in the garden, it's the Son of God, the three-in-one God. Jesus being there is still God. It's not, it's, you know, the scriptures talk about in John 1 that that he was there in the beginning. And let me read that real quick. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right there in the beginning. They're together. And they are God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. They're together. They're there. So I don't think it's a far stretch to say this was the day spring. This was God, but it was the day spring and a little crack, a little tiny ray of light. The day's coming. One thing I've thought about with this day coming, and when I was assured of, when I was in the deer stand, when I saw that little tiny pinkness starting in the east, what did I know? It's happening. Who of you or myself can stop the sun coming up in the morning? Who can delay it? Where is man ever going to be able to stop that? Oh yeah, we mess with the time. You know, grab an hour off this end and stick it on that end. You see what I'm saying? Does it stop the clock? Does it stop the sun from coming up? There's not even a touch of it toward that. The sun is coming up. And here's the first crack of light to mankind in his desperate position of being dead from God, of Adam messing it up. Here's the first crack of light. Well, you just start going through the scriptures. Do you see what I can do with this visitation? God came, just for the sake of time, I'm going to just have to jump. What about at the time of Noah? God came and talked about how evil man was going to be, and yet he was going to save some, a picture of God's salvation to his people, is it not? And rise them up above in the waters, that they were saved by the water, out of the water, in the ark being a picture of Jesus Christ, more light coming. What about as we go along and we get to Abraham, and God calls this man out of Ur of the Chaldees, a pagan man, and starts telling him, I'm God, and I'm going to bless you, and I will do this for you, Abraham, and I will do this for you, Abraham, and I will do this for you. I heard a preacher say a while back, just look at how many times God tells Abraham what I will do. It's interesting. I had never thought of it. After that, heard that preacher preach it, I went back and got those chapters when you start reading about Abraham. And it's just time after time what God is telling Abraham. God chose Abraham, a picture of the children of God, a choice that God made for the fathers. Another, the light in the west. Why do I keep saying west? The light in the east is getting brighter. Do you not see it? This sun of the day spring is coming up. You're not going to stop it. And we have the great privilege that all of this information, all of this light that's coming from darkness of Adam, and here it comes. It's rising up in front of us. The day spring is showing us what this is through his tender mercy. Did he have to give us the Bible to know all this? Would him not just say the Bible didn't exist and we just muddled around in our sinful states? Would it change our position in heaven? Not a minute. But we wouldn't know about it until we died, and there we are. But God in his tender mercy so willingly had men of old to be inspired to write, and the scriptures, and then his preservation of the scriptures down to we can sit down and read about, even to the point what I'm talking about. Take a metaphor of just the sun kind of coming up and calling Jesus the dayspring. The dayspring from on high in his tender mercy is visiting us. And here we are. And there's Abraham. And just think of it. Here's Abraham. A son comes to him in his old age, learning about faith and trusting in God. And then God telling him to take that son up on the mountain that he would show him. And Abraham, so strong in faith, said that the lad and I are going up to worship and we will return. He knew God would raise him from the dead, starting to show more light. The dayspring is rising more. And the picture of the lamb caught in the bush and the sacrifice and all of that is more pictures, more light for us to understand what great things God has done for us. That on Thanksgiving weekend, we could be more thankful. And as we move along, I don't know, go to Moses. And God starts showing his law, which is his character, showing his righteousness where he sits. And the Ten Commandments showing us that if we try to keep them, it's impossible. Man cannot keep the Ten Commandments. And then all of the other Levitical commandments that come along and how to treat each other and how we are to try to keep God ever before our minds. And it shows the righteousness of God and how far short we fall. I was amazed in high school that one of my friends that was like 6'2 could jump 6 feet 4 inches. How can that be? I don't get it. But this man, he'd run and he'd flip up over on his back and he'd clear that bar. He got the state championship for a few months when he did what he did there in Nebraska. It didn't count because the wind was blowing. Well, I don't think you'll ever in Nebraska get a state championship without the wind blowing. But anyway, that's beside the point. But there's the bar. And he jumped over it. But God's bar is way above 6 feet, 4 inches. Do you see what I'm saying? We have no chance of clearing the bar that God set. We realize we need some help. We need somebody to intervene. And through those sacrifices, it's starting to give us more light in the east. The day spring and his tender mercy is showing that he's visiting us over and over. He visited them, and people in Moses' day got to see more of who God was and what was going on. And we get to go back and read it, and we know more of what God is. I think of Job, which would be before those men that I've talked of. But here's Job, even to the point of knowing that my Redeemer liveth. You remember Job saying that? What visitation of the day spring on high, showing Job that there is a Savior. Can you imagine? It's there, the day spring, the light's coming up. Nobody's going to stop this light from coming up. It's getting brighter and brighter as it goes. I think of David and him talking about the eternal covenant. We don't know much about the eternal covenant, but we get to David and learn more about it. We learn more of David's tender mercies from what Brother David Torrance read to us about King David and his tender mercy over and over. There's places in the Psalms that every verse talks has the word mercy in it. The mercy of God and his tender mercies and what he's done for us. It's just more light and more light. The day spring is springing up from darkness to beautiful light, as it were, as it's going. Even then we get to Isaiah. Let me read in Isaiah 53. Go to Isaiah 53. This is beautiful language. This is more light, more and more light coming to us, that the day is springing. Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he hath borne our griefs. Let me stop a second. This is like 500 years before Jesus Christ. 500 years. And yet here it is, light shining about him. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I mean, it just keeps going. Do you see the light that's being tender, mercifully shown to us in just these verses, 500 years before Jesus comes? It's just as I go through, it just blows my mind. In just that, I love the metaphor now of just the light keeps coming. Makes me think when I was in the deer stand, I was just finally so happy that it's bright enough that if a deer comes by, I could shoot it. Well, here's the brightness that we can see what great things our God has done for us through his tender mercy and his willingness to come and visit us. No, he didn't have to do it. Or he could have been gruff about it. But not our God. Not this day spring. It is so tender. And his visitation comes to us. I think you can see it. We can scoot on now. We'll just jump that 500 years. And here's this one born in a manger. The light's getting brighter, is it not? The visitation. He literally, this day spring literally took on a body of flesh. A body like you and I have. It hurt. He had to be hungry. We know he was. Because it talks about when he was on the cross, he says, I thirst. Well, if he thirsted, he had to be hungry sometimes. He was without sleep. He said he had no place to lay his head. We learned that this God in heaven so graciously came and literally visited us. Isn't that amazing? And it was his tender mercy through all of that. He wasn't gruff. Oh, yes, with those of the Pharisees that kept going on and on. But I don't know how gruff it was, or maybe just how honest he was in how it was. Just his tender mercy toward his children. And those, he never, you can't find a place in the scriptures when a sinner came to Jesus asking for help with their sins that he refused him. Tender mercy. That ought to give us hope, folks, that we have problems and we can go to Jesus and he's never, in his tender mercy, going to refuse us. Oh, we may say, Lord, I need help today, and we don't see it come today. But he knows what's best, does he not? He knows how to administer what we need when we need it. I think about this aspect of Jesus coming in a body. Why did he come in a body? He had to come in a body. This visitation in a body had to happen. Without him being in a body and him in his divine nature, he never would have experienced what we experience. He couldn't have been then called the one that we have a high priest, which we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings our infirmities. But because he came, he was touched. And now he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Every time every one of you have a discouraging moment, or you feel inferior, or you just, whatever, life is just tough on you, and you're just down about it, or whatever comes our way, He knows. He's been here. Without Him coming in that body, without that tender mercy visitation of the day spring 2,000 years ago or so, He wouldn't know. He wouldn't be the wonderful great intercessor that He is between God and man. He had to have that body. And without that body, even the bigger picture, the bigger mercy of God, the bigger tender mercy of God, the bigger aspect of His visitation was when all of our sins, all of our iniquities, all of our darkness, all of our midnight was placed on Him. How can that be? I don't know, but I believe it. Through faith, I believe it happened. And it was put on Him there on the cross. And God poured out His wrath on Him. This visitation in a physical sense. And yes, the light was turned out at that time. It was dark. But we know what was happening because the Scriptures tell us what was happening. What light is being shown to us? What tender mercy is being shown to us that we have an understanding that here today I'm able to stand in front of y'all and just in awe and wonder of what this God has done. This light that's now, I mean, this is no more a little crack of light, is it? This is like almost full sun is up now. Well, in thinking of that, when is the light the brightest with the natural sun? When it gets to noon, is it not? And Scriptures talk of that. The noonday sun. The brightness of the noonday sun. He's brighter than the noonday sun. That's the brightest that it is. And I thought, well, when is the noonday sun in this metaphor? Where is it? I don't think I'm going too far. I don't think we're there yet. I think we're more over here when it's full sun. But I don't think we're at noonday yet. I believe noonday, when it's the brightest, is that last great and glorious day, is it not? When He comes back with all the holy angels, and He comes back in all of His glory and splendor, in all of His mercy, and He comes and visits this place in His tender mercy as the day star. When our day star comes back, but no longer day star, but now he's the noonday sun in its brightness and its glory. And He calls all those that have died before, and all of their souls have come with Him, and we're reunited with our bodies. And those of us that are alive are caught up in the air, we're changed, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Full brightness, is it not? Tender mercy of God toward us, and He visits us. It's just beautiful. I've really enjoyed the study this week through this. So, as we may change on to more thoughts in this direction, what about your little lives or big lives? I don't know how you look at yourself. I figure mine's just a little life. What is the song we sing? It talks about light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, what about you guys? Has He visited you? Has this day spring, this light, has there been a little crack of light? Has it visited you in tender mercy? Well, I can say it has in the aspect of in the eternal part or the spiritual aspect of you. You were midnight. You were sin itself. Nothing but sin. You were just, I am included in this. We were sin. Sin multiplied. Could do nothing but sin. We had no other choice. Our nature was just sin. Darkness, darkness. And so we get to Ephesians, and it talks about there, for ye who sometimes were darkness. You were darkness. Why is it different? But now you are light in the Lord. What's happened? It's regeneration. Jesus comes and visits you through the work of the Holy Ghost that was determined before the foundation of the world of all that He chose. And Jesus said He would send a comforter to us. Here He comes. Here's the visitation coming to you and you and you and you, to each of us, come to me sometime in our lives, sometime in the lives of every single child of God, this visitation is coming. I mean, this day spring is coming up. It can't be stopped. There's no way it can be stopped. And the visitation is going to come and regenerate each one of you. The light is going to be turned on inside of us. You're going to be given light. You are going to have a soul that is light. It's from Jesus. It's who it is. Do you see that visitation? Is that not wonderful? And just think, without the light of this word, we wouldn't know these things. I mean, it's just miraculous how this tender mercy and this day spring, our day spring, is springing up and flooding light to us. The day spring, light is coming up and flooding. And I believe, and you go to 2 Colossians 4:6. Let's go read that one. 2 Colossians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What's happening here? It's telling us that the miracle of God over there in Genesis 1 that said, let there be light, and remember, it just flooded the universe with light, is doing the same thing to you when you're born again, when you're regenerated. And he says, for the God who commanded the light shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Here's this day spring, the day spring, the man of light, the God of light. And he comes and he, in a miraculous sense, and the same power, I think, the same sense in which the light came into the universe, he comes into your heart and says, regeneration, and there's light. You now are full of light. Here you are. Now, do we recognize that? You know, I don't think so right at the first. It's like a little child. Maybe a little child really doesn't know that it's even a little child or born. It takes a few years and a little bit of knowledge and a little more knowledge. And one day, the child may say, Dada, and realize that individual is its dad. You see what I'm saying? But the child's already a couple years old. Light comes and it fills us with light. I think the Apostle Paul was probably the exception to this rule. And when that light came to him, do you remember what happened to him? The light was so bright it blinded him and those that were other, and they fell to the ground. I think that's a picture of what's going on inside our souls. But we don't see that. It's hidden inside of us. And then little by little, this day spring starts educating us of the little bit of light that, hey, I am a sinner. And hey, I can't do right. And we keep reading the scriptures and, whoa, we serve this God. And the bar sets a high. You know, here's this friend of mine was able to jump 6 feet 4 inches. God's bar is past the moon. I mean, I don't know. There's just no chance. We're not getting over that bar. It can't be done. Somebody's going to have to do it for us. Is it not? Is he not? And the day spring is our man, this one of light. And he shows us all of this. And in your souls, each one of you, God has visited you. The day spring came into your souls and regenerated you. And boom, you're full of light. And then God starts blessing you. Now you can hear. Now you have the capacity, the gifts of the Spirit to start understanding these possessions. As I have possessions of natural life, of hands and eyeballs and ears and brain and all, you now have capacity. You have ways of hearing who God is. We can't hear it with our natural, but with our spiritual man, with this light that has been given to us, with this regeneration, we can start learning. And little by little in our minds, it just starts growing and growing and growing till maybe one day you see yourself. God pulls back a bit of the curtain. And if you've not had a day like this, it's a horrible day. I've experienced it on one hand. On the other hand, it's a wonderful day. When he shows you what a sinner you are, and then you see your Savior. I believe it's a little bit, I've used it 100 times, but I like the picture, so I'll use it again. Like a seesaw or a teeter-totter. And when God shows you 2 or 3 degrees of your blackness, your darkness, your sin on this side, at the same time, the brightness of Jesus, the same degree of light, the same degree of understanding comes to you on this side. I don't think you can learn more of Jesus and not see who you are. John the Baptist, we talk, says, I must decrease, but he must increase. As we decrease in who we are, this day star increases. The day spring comes up and is brighter and brighter in our lives by his tender mercy. And he visits us even to see who we are. There has to be a visitation of Jesus Christ to show us our blackness, to see his beauty even greater as we go along. He has commanded the same power that he commanded the light to shine out of darkness in creation way back there some 6,000 or more years ago. That power has happened in each one of you. When your time was, when God the Father directed the Holy Spirit and through Jesus Christ, our day spring, and the wind blew on you and you regenerated. That's the power of God. Well, let's get down maybe to more of a practical sense. What about it with you all, folks? I know in this room, there's folks that have heard the C word, cancer. There's folks that's lost loved ones close to them. There's folks that's struggling with diabetes. What else shall we say? There's folks in here that hurt all the time. Literal, physical pain all the time. There's others in here that have depression. I know who it is. Struggles with depression. There's those of us that have all of these different ailments. Actually, we all have something. Nobody escapes this place without something. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. I've had such an easy, wonderful life, it scares the socks off of me, is what I'd say. Scares the dickens out of me, is how my mom would say it. Whatever the dickens are, I don't know. You know, I'm almost afraid that, you know, God's going to send something bad just because I haven't had anything yet of real consequence. There's all sorts of sin in this room. We all struggle somewhere. Do you all need a day spring? Would you all like a little glimmer of light? What about some of you that's been blessed to pass through some of these problems? Did you get through on your own accord? Did you get through it? Just, I did it. I made it happen. Or was there a tender, merciful visitation from the day spring and a little light came? Maybe a little more light. Maybe as I sit on that deer stand and it was just so wonderful, I'm so cold, I'm shivering. And I'm like, is it even worth it when I see a deer? You know, when a deer finally jumps out and I pull the trigger and get the thing, the fun's over. I mean, it's been miserable up to this point. This is my third reason why I quit deer hunting. Because I'm cold or mosquitoes, but mostly the cold's what I remember. Shoot the deer, and now the work begins. Got to drag the thing to the truck, you know, got to get it, got to process it. I processed all my own deer whenever, you know, or the boys when we did it. What about y'all? I mean, I was so glad to see that sunlight and finally have the rays start warming me sitting in the deer stand. What about you in your trials, in your tribulations that we shall have? As I've said before, Primitive Baptists love the word shall. Well, you shall have tribulations. How much do you like that shall? But it's true. Is the day spring come up to you? Are you in the midst of tribulation right now? Is there a problem that you're just begging God for help? There's light. It may be a flicker, but there's light. It's out there. Jesus Christ tells us himself. Let me find, I know it's in John 8. See if I can find it quick. Gets quiet in here when I'm not talking, but that's all right. Doesn't scare me. Well, it says, I am the light of the world. I know it's in John 8. Here we go, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I desire the light of life. I think we all do. It's what gives us strength. You can talk to anybody that's been blessed. Maybe not anybody, but anybody that has been trusting in the Lord and has been blessed to get through a hard situation, they understand what the light of life is. They understand that this was the day spring. That's the light. I am the light of the world. And he came and visited them. We have experiences of that in our bedroom, maybe in our beds at midnight or 2 or 3 in the morning when we're struggling. When life seems like it's so hard, Lord, how am I going to get on? How are my children? You know, we have struggle with our children. Children probably have struggles with their parents. It probably goes both ways, you know, sooner or later. How are you going to make it? Turn to your day spring. There's light there. When I say light, there's help there. There's, as I was in that deer stand, there's warmth. There's compassion. There's tender mercy in that light. And it can grow brighter and brighter. The more you go toward the light, the more you go, it can become brighter and brighter. Go for the light. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I sometimes I just want to be who I am. I don't care about the rest of the world, and I'm just going to serve myself. What am I doing? I'm walking away from the light. I'm walking into darkness. And yeah, and a day or two later, I regret, you know, the path that I knowingly chose. Like I've told you before, sometimes I just want a pity party with myself. I try not to display it to others. Obviously, Elaine sees it sometimes, but bless her heart. Y'all pray for her. Y'all see what I'm talking about? But sometimes these things aren't self-inflicted. Sometimes we're just cast headlong into a trial that's absolutely nothing to do with what we've experienced, anything we've done wrong or right. We're just thrown into the midst of a hard trial. Look for your tender, merciful day spring. He's there. He is the light. He'll give you the strength. He'll warm you with his rays. It's there. Let me read that one more time. Luke 1:78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. This beautiful day spring, Jesus Christ, the light coming, it can't be stopped. There's a spiritual application and there's a natural application that I've tried to show you this morning. It gives you so much peace to see the spiritual side of it. It shows us that we have no control. As I said, nobody has control over the sun coming up. There's the here and now. I was going to say physical, but maybe I'll just say the here and now trials that we go through. We have this bright and shining one, our tender, merciful day spring will visit us. God bless each and every one of you Thank you for your kind attention.